यमुना तेरा बना चाहे यमुना तेरा बना चाहे दय राधा माधव बिहारे जय श्री श्री राध माधव श्री श्री राध श्याम सुंदर की जय श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय देवेंद्र भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय इसकोम वर्तमान गुरु वृंद की जय समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय ओ गुरुस्तु दशमुल दिवोतिस ओ गुरुस्तु दशमुल दिवोतिस ओ गुरुस्तु दशमुल दिवोतिस ओ गुरुस्तु श्री गुरु श्री गौरंग ओम ज्ञानति मिरंदस्य गिरंजनो सुमक्रय चक्षुरिन्द्रितं येना तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मयं ददति स्वपदन्तिकं वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नाम ओं विष्णुपराय कृष्ण पृष्ठ भूतले श्रीमती भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनीति नमिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चिने श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद स्याद्वैत राधा शिव सादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे उदय महाप्रिय महापुरो विभूर निर्मय क्षति हर मुश पुरुष मुक्त गुणांश दोष सदसत्मकाय लंकृशिष्ट भगवन् वचंसि मे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण सो टुडे विद द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल द असेंबल्ड वैष्णवस वी कंटिन्यू रीडिंग फ्रॉम द 11th कैंटो 31st chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Explanation of the Vedic Path, text 31. Svapno pamam amum lokam. Svapno pamam amum lokam. Asantam. Shravanapriyam Asantam Shravanapriyam Ashisho Ridhi Sankalpya Ashisho Ridhi Sankalpya Yajan Chatta Yadhavanik Yajan Tartan Yadhavanik Svapno pama mamum lokam Asantam shavana priyam Ashisho ridhi sankalpya Yajan chattan yadavanik Please Svapno pama mamum lokam santam shavana priyam asishyari santam priyam Mamam Lokam Santam Shavana Priyam Ladies, please. Patna Pama Mamam Lokam Synonyms, please repeat. Svapna, a dream. Upamam, equal to. Amum, that. Lokam, world, after death. Asantam, unreal. Shravana priyam, only enchanting to hear about. Ashishaha, mundane achievements in this life. Preeti, in their hearts. Sankalpya, imagining. Tyajanti, they give up. Arthan, their wealth. Yatha, like. Vanik, a businessman. Translation prepared by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srisi Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Just as a foolish businessman gives up his real wealth in useless business speculation, foolish persons give up all that is actually valuable in life and instead pursue promotion to material heaven, which, although pleasing to hear about, is actually unreal, like a dream. Such bewildered persons imagine within their heart that they will achieve all material blessings. Perfect. All over the world, people are working hard to achieve perfect sense gratification in this life or the next. As eternal living beings, part and parcel of Lord Krishna, we are naturally endowed with all bliss and knowledge in the association of the Lord. But giving up this exalted position of spiritual bliss and knowledge, we foolishly waste our time pursuing the phantasmagoria of bodily happiness, just like a foolish businessman who squanders his real assets in imaginary business ventures that deliver no real profit. Svapno pamam amum lokam Asantam Shavana Priyam Ashisha Hridi Sankalpya Tyajanta Arthan Yathavanik. Just as a foolish businessman gives up his real wealth in useless business speculation, foolish persons give up all that's actually valuable in life and instead pursue promotion to material heaven, which, although pleasing to hear about, is actually unreal, like a dream. Such bewildered persons imagine within their hearts that they will achieve all material blessings. This is a kind of strange statement, because we know from Shastra that heavenly planets are real, they do exist, but for some interesting reason, this particular verse says that material heaven, which although pleasing to hear about, is actually unreal like a dream. So how can we understand this? And actually, even we have good examples of something real and unreal at the same time in this world. And in America we have those examples as well. There is, you know, because heavenly planets are described like the place where you can have tons of, a lot of fun and adventures and all types of sense gratifications are available there. And people always strive for these things. And that's why we have, for example, Universal Studio or Disneyland in Los Angeles, and I heard that there is one available here in Orlando as well. And so these places are real. They do exist, and I'm pretty sure some of the devotees had the experience, been there, done that. I was invited by the devotees in LA to visit Universal Studio once. I have to confess. And even though these places do exist, they are real. But actually, everybody knows that it's not a real life, right? You can have the experience of flying high and performing different, you know, feats. But everybody knows, maybe except very small kids, that it's all artificially created. And they're very honest about it, right? That what's the motto of the Universal Studio? A dream factory, right? They produce dreams. Because people, they like to enjoy their senses without any restrictions and experience some kind of, you know, maybe mystic powers or whatever. So they create these experiences and it becomes a good business. But everybody knows it's not a real life. It's unreal. You just go there for a few hours, pay your whatever price for that. And if you're really into it, you may go number of times there. And if you're so obsessed with this kind of, you know, experiences, you might even get a job there and have these experiences every day. But even those who work there, they know it's not real, right? It's all illusory, phantasmagoria, as it is described. That's why Prabodhananda Saraswati, this is what he explains about the heavenly planets. Actually, he speaks about the advantages of devotional service as opposed to everything else in the material world. He says, Kaivalyam Narakayate, that the liberation for the devotee without opportunity to be engaged in devotional service is like hell, Narakayate. And Tridashapura Kasha Pushpayate, that all these heavenly planets, Tridashapur, are no better than flowers in the sky, Akasha Pushpa. And devotee is not interested in all these things. Why? Because Vishwapurnam Sukhayate, by the power of the devotional service, devotee is not looking for anything else, because the entire creation of the Lord, even though it is filled with misery for the conditioned souls, for the devotee, it's happiness everywhere, right? because Krishna is everywhere and devotee is really enjoying his life in Krishna consciousness. But unfortunately, people in the material world, they look for these kind of experiences. And this is really the same thing. And luckily, living here in Florida, you have the experiences of, you know, kind of, you can say, glimpses of heavenly happiness. It's a nice weather, and you have places like Blue Springs, and nevertheless, you can understand that, you know, all these things, after a while, they get really boring, right? And they can only bring pleasure in contrast with the miseries of the material world. But they cannot really bring happiness. And material world means misery will always be there. But even heavenly planets, we read in Srimad Bhagavatam that all these demigods enjoying there, they get regular attacks from the demons, and then it becomes really hellish. You know, heaven can turn into hell in a matter of seconds in the material world. This is the law. Dukkhalaya Shashvata, everything is full of misery. Dukkha Alaya. Very interesting word. Dukkha Alaya. Dukkha is, of course, misery, and Alaya in Sanskrit means storehouse. So this is what the material world is. It's the storehouse of misery. It's the perverted reflection of the spiritual world. The spiritual world is storehouse of pleasure, different enjoyments in serving Krishna, and material world is also a storehouse, but instead of pleasure, instead of enjoyment, you get so many types of miseries. And Ashashvata, it's all temporary. Maybe, you know, in conjunction with miseries, storehouses of miseries, that this material world, this temporary place, is actually a good news. That even miseries, they will not last forever, right? Everything will be over, good and bad. And so that's why devotees, and it's very interesting that we can see that it is described in scripture, and also we can see in practical life that only those devotees who convinced by experience in their own life that nothing in the material world can bring happiness, and to the most part, these are the devotees who already had the experience of all types of happiness in the material world. And they understand this is not a real thing, right? And so then they become convinced that the only process which can actually make me happy is Krishna consciousness, because it means developing our personal relationship with the Supreme Lord, loving relationship with the Supreme Lord. And we can understand that only love, real love, can make us happy. And so this is why a devotee is always happy, even in the material world, because he enjoys his loving relationships with Krishna and with other devotees. And so that's why a devotee is not interested in anything material. It is similar to the descriptions of Chaitanya Charitamrita, where in Lord Chaitanya, and just literally yesterday or day before, I think yesterday, it was a disappearance day before yesterday, the disappearance day of Sri Sridhar Pandit, who was the self-same Kalavecha Sridhar. And so we all know the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya taking away his bananas and banana products and not really paying him the proper price, teasing him, and Kalavecha Sridhar getting all angry and annoyed about this very impudent young Brahmana boy. But then, after a while,
we know that Lord Chaitanya revealed to Kalavesha Sridhar his divine form as the Supreme Lord. And then he is telling Kalavesha Sridhar that I'm so pleased by your devotion that you can ask me any boon you wish. And you are so poor. You live in such a poverty-stricken condition, so maybe I could help you. I could give you wealth which would be envied even by Kuvera, the treasurer of the heavenly planets. Would you like to become that wealthy? And Kalavesha Sridhar says, no, I'm not really interested. So much headache, all this wealth. Someone can steal it, someone can kill it, kill you for it, etc., etc. So much envy, right? That wealthy people, they think they will be loved by everyone, but in fact, everyone starts envying them, right? So why do I need all this wealth? No, I'm not interested. But then Lord Chaitanya said, what about high position? You could acquire any top position in the universe, including the position of Lord Brahma. I could make it into that. And Kalavesha Sridhar says, no, not interested. This high position, I mean, you know, one reason why Lord Brahma has four heads, because he has to take care of so many things in the universe, and mostly these are troublesome things, right? So he has four heads and he has quadruple headache as well. So who needs that? All these headaches connected with high position. And then Lord Chaitanya is asking, what about liberation? I could help you to merge in Brahman. And Kalavesha Sridhar says, no, that's even worse. But then you don't want anything, so what do you want? And then Kalavesha Sridhar says, I want you to continue coming and continue taking away my bananas and banana products, and I want us to argue and quarrel over it, and I want to enjoy this type of rasa relationships forever. So this is the example that devotee is so happy in his position that he's not interested in anything material. Of course, it does not mean that Krishna is not interested in devotee having everything. Because as Rangavinda Prabhu read a few days ago, one of the verses from Bhagavad Gita, where in Krishna tells Arjuna, Tasmat pamutishta yashalabhasvajitva shantrum bunkshvarajam samritam mayavate inihita purvamava nimitta matra bhavesavya sachin, that just become an instrument in my hands. And he explains to Arjuna how he wants him to become an instrument in his hand. Tasmat vam utishta. Therefore, you should... Utishta literally means wake up. Right? Wake up. Stop dreaming. Start living. Right? Yashola basva. And what's next? Become famous. Acquire fame. Jitva shatrung. Destroy your enemies. And bunkshva rajyam samridam, and enjoy flourishing kingdom. All your enemies are already killed by my arrangement, and you can only be an instrument in my hands. So it's very interesting that devotee is not interested in anything material. This is Bhagavad Gita, right? Arjuna said, no, I'm not interested in fame, I'm not interested in power, I'm not interested in wealth, all these are material things, I'll be just focusing on my spiritual development. And whoever wants that, let them have it and enjoy. I'm not interested. And Krishna said, well and good. You're not interested, I am interested. So you don't want it for yourself, get it for me. Right? Because we devotee doesn't want anything material, but he wants everyone to become Krishna conscious. And most of the people are materialistic. And what all these people want? They want money, they want fame, they want power. And therefore, Krishna wants to give all these benefits to his devotee, because then people will be attracted by the process of Krishna consciousness, and they will know it is for real. Srila Prabhupada was saying, I could sit under a tree and continue preaching Krishna consciousness, but how many people then would be interested? But you see this marvelous temple, and people come, and they say, okay, this something serious is going on here. These people are organized, and well, God gives them everything. This is how materialistic people become attracted by Krishna consciousness. And even though a devotee is not using anything for his own sanctification, but it's called Yukta Vairagya, we're using everything in Krishna's service, and in this way we're helping so many people to get connected to Krishna. And that's why Krishna wanted Arjuna to have all these benefits, because he knew very well that Arjuna will be the one who will use his power, his wealth, and his fame only for Krishna. By his power, he will show Krishna's powers. By his fame, he will make Krishna famous. And by his wealth, he will benefit so many people in Krishna consciousness, right? And we know it very well. If we want to just serve Krishna ourselves, then of course we don't require anything. We can sit anywhere and chant Hare Krishna. But if we want to help other people to come in touch with Krishna consciousness, for example, by organizing some grand festival, right? Then it requires funding. It requires so many things. And so this is why Krishna wants his devotees to have the best resources. And that's why I'm quite convinced that the devotees should become ambitious, not for themselves, but for Krishna, and achieve the best results which are possible to achieve in this world. Best possible education. I'm thinking that all the parents, they should really encourage their kids to get the best possible education so that they would get the topmost positions in this world, because with all these advantages, they could really convince people about Krishna consciousness. And we know very well how it happens, right? That if we are trying to convince people about the importance of Krishna consciousness, then how many people listen? But if someone who has high position tells anything, so many hundreds, thousands, or even millions of people, they take up to Krishna consciousness. And of course we know the examples how Beatles and George Harrison specifically, just because he was so famous, and then he could influence so many people. I would tend to think that amongst all the devotees, single-handedly he made more people interested in Krishna consciousness than everybody else put together. Whether it's true or not, no one have really calculated, but we know quite well that his influence was tremendous, because he was such an influential personality. And so that's why I think this is really important. If we ever want to accomplish the very first purpose of ISKCON, which is really global, right? And this is what Prabhupada wanted, and this is what Krishna consciousness is meant to be. It's meant to be the global spiritual influence. And the only way to do that, there are two ways to do it. One way that either devotees acquire very high and influential positions through which they could really influence masses of people in Krishna consciousness, or devotees would connect to those people who have this type of influence and convince them. And probably if you do both things at the same time, it would be even easier. That those devotees who have influence, they connect with other people who have influence, and together they work to, you know, re-spiritualize the entire human society. And so this is the practical application, that devotees are neither interested in material sense gratification, as Bhagavad Gita says, devotee never hankers for material pleasures, but he never hates the material pleasures either, right? That devotee is never influenced by karma, which is desire for sense gratification, nor jnana, or artificial dry renunciation, but he is right in the middle. Instead of using the material advantages for his sense pleasure, he is using them for Krishna. And that is real Krishna consciousness. This is what Bhagavad Gita is explaining to us, and because this section of Bhagavatam is Uddhava Gita, which is very much in line with Bhagavad Gita, so we are bringing up this very important concept, which is extremely fundamental for our Krishna conscious understanding. Hare Krishna. So, anyone has any questions, comments, suggestions, complaints? Rangavinda Prabhu. Microphone.
As you said that either we utilize our own talent, own fame, facility, resources, simultaneously engage or connect with those people who are more with the resources and fame, and both ways it will be easier. It reminded me of Sripada Radhanath Maharaj. He is very famous to one particular bank manager. And the other bank manager, when they had in London, when they had this World Bank conference, they invited him. It's online also, if somebody is interested to hear. So I was talking to Maharaj about it the other day. That there's a one bank manager, Lloyds of London, he's a very big, and people respect him a lot, and they know his idea of view in financial world is very successful. So he came to introduce, when he came to introduce Maharaj, so they paid attention. Oh, he first thing he said, you know, most of my success idea is coming from this great personality. And Radhanath Maharaj, of course, he said, I don't want to disappoint you. You know, I never had a bank account. I still don't have a bank account. But you want me to say something. But anyway, the point was, at the end, was the seven Western mentality bank financial big guys actually interested to adopt Krishna consciousness in their personal life to be successful simultaneously material and spiritual. So this is very good. I mean, I don't know what else you could get those guys really interested.
Yeah.
So that's very true. Thank you.
Yeah. And in one sense, we don't want, financial managers to renounce everything prematurely, right? We want them to become Krishna conscious and use their advantages in Krishna's service, right? That would be the right thing. And so, yes, Radhanath Maharaj is, I would say, the brightest example in our society of Yukta Vairagya, how he's connecting with all these people of power. Actually, it's very interesting. He's so smart because he spent so much time, and he's quite open about it. He says, what we are doing is actually Varnashram. And it's not just a curtailed, one-side Varnashram. Sometimes devotees think Varnashram supposed to be, but it's the whole full thing, full-fledged Varnashram, that he spent so much time and effort in bringing, attracting educated and cultured youth to the movement, to his temple. Then he trained them, he inspired them, and he made them into real powerful brahmanas. And now they are following in his wake and traveling all over the world and preaching Krishna consciousness to people of influence. And then you can see that after accomplishing that part of his mission, he moved on and started preaching to Kshatriyas, right? Met with Obama, met with British Parliament and all these people. And now he moved on and he is tapping into Vaishyas, as you mentioned, and even powerful Shudras, not to underestimate, you know, like, what's his name, Russell Brand, and all these people. I mean, to entertain people, that's Shudra's activity, but he's very famous, and he also has influence. So Radhanath Maharaj very smartly connects with those people and encourages them in Krishna consciousness, because he knows that just few words from those people can influence thousands or millions of people. So, yeah, he's extremely smart. And his own example is that he's such a humble and simple soul, as we know, and he never wanted to become famous, right? But then his own life story was so interesting that his own is Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, whose disappearance we honored a couple of days back. We know how the journey home came about, that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj at his deathbed actually made Radhanath Maharaj promise that he will share his story with the world. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj himself, he was the pioneer who went on to connect with people of influence, you know, United Nations, all these things. And he was very successful in that. But then by this request, he actually empowered Radhanath Maharaj, right, to continue his mission, because it's so important. And it actually happened. All these opportunities came to Radhanath Maharaj pretty much after his book came out, right? Through his book he got all these advantages. And he would never do it on his own, but because Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj pushed him so hard, right? How can you say no to a dying man, you know, his final request? So he did that, and we can see how much good results came out of that. Thank you.
Couple days on Sankirtan, a couple days ago, I met this woman, and she was telling me, I was telling her about meditation, and she said, you know this personality on TV, and I said, who? And she said, Oprah. And I said, oh yeah. And she said, she has teamed up with Chopra, or somebody, and she's teaching meditation.
Deepak Chopra, yeah.
Yeah, Deepak Chopra. And she said, I meditate, I was very, you know, I was always in anxiety, and I start meditation. And she said, but I know there's something better than what they're doing. And so it was a good opportunity for me to say something about Krishna consciousness. And she said, well, why don't you hook up with Oprah mm-hmm. and you tell people about this Krishna consciousness? Because just talking to you for a few minutes, I'm feeling peace. I said, I asked her, I don't know exactly what Oprah teaches, but she said, they meditate for half an hour and something. So I said, well, why don't you chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? So I was teaching her how to chant it. And so we talked for about a few minutes, and then she said, I think already I like this much, much better. And so She said, I could feel something deeper. So I was telling her, this is a transcendental vibration. It goes beyond the material energy. And she said, I know it. You have to hook up with Oprah. You have to.
Yeah.
And that, there you go again. You know, this, if we hook up with these spiritual personality, you know, we can. She influenced so many people, obviously, because millions of housewives are now doing this meditation.
Mm.
So somebody has to hook up with her and tell her what Krishna consciousness.
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let as many devotees as we can, you know, speak at the Oprah show. But one interesting thing is that in regards to Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, of course we understand that most of the people can never conceive the topmost truths of Krishna consciousness just because they don't have much faith in that or experience. But they can see practical benefits. They can perceive that. And for now, we have already two doctorate dissertations published about the benefits of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. One is, of course, by Dira Govinda Prabhu, Dr. David Wolf from...
I think that's influenced the higher class of people. But most, you have to remember that most of the people in the world are average intelligence.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah,
yes.
like the housewives. So
yeah.
She's saying that, you know, many people, I don't know what time her show comes on. I don't watch it personally. But I'm saying if she can influence, people get the practical benefit,
yeah.
You know. And sometimes, some people intelligently have to read and understand. But
yeah.
Some people just by practicing, you know, I think which is most of our devotees in ISKCON, by practicing we get the taste.
Sure.
And so that itself will speak, you know, and they will want to do it. This woman, she was so influenced, she was calling her friends over and have them all chant. So,
yeah.
You know, some people are ready for this, you know. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, we could use those doctorates as a scientific basis to help people understand the benefits of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
What was the second one?
Second one is recent, that one Japataka Maharaj disciple, he made his doctorate on the Hare Krishna mantra and mental health, how chanting of Hare Krishna gives benefits for mental health. And mental health is like such a serious problem for the whole world. Practically all these mental diseases have no solutions. And of course, stress, depression, you know, other milder forms, they also mental problems, and people have no solutions. And of course, mantra is the means to liberate the mind from everything inauspicious. So, and you know, he showed by scientific indicators how beneficial Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is for mental health. Yes.
I was doing book distribution for ISKCON Miami, and I'm not sure what year, it was sometime in the 1970s. And so we had what we thought was a brilliant idea. We thought we would go distribute books up at Disney World. Well, I can just tell you right now, it's not a good idea. They caught us like in less than 5 minutes. I mean,
yeah.
Probably 1 minute it seems, you know. They have people watching out for that type of thing.
Yeah.
You know. And then they took us to the behind the scenes Disney World. It's a completely different hellish, you know. Yeah, so they took us behind the scenes. Did you also try to distribute there?
Yeah.
So it was behind the scenes Disney World is just the opposite.
Hellish planets.
Like, it's horrible, you know. So and you were saying that even the employees know. Well, the employees know what behind the scenes Disney World is like for sure, so they don't have any illusions, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's like in the material world, behind every heaven is a hell. This is how it works. Anyone else wanted to share? Yes.
We know Prabhupada was also very interested in meeting the class, the higher class.
That's right.
And influencing them. I think lest anyone be discouraged in the fact that they're not in a position to address those class individuals, he also wanted the mass distribution of his mm-hmm. knowledge.
Yeah.
So we should take heart and continue the mass distribution, those of us who are in that position, because this is preparing the ground more fertile for when those leaders may change and and say one word, and then the masses are more in tune, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
You did mention earlier about Dukkalayam. One devotee once said, this material world is a Dukkalayam, a place. He said, Alayam means a place, same as storehouse, as you said, a place of misery. And he said, like the Himalayas, Himalaya means a place of ice or cold.
That's right.
And you wouldn't go to the Himalayas to for a sun bath or, you know, for to be warm. So similarly, one is foolish to think that coming to this material world, one can experience sukha instead of dukkha.
Thank you. Yeah, I was not stressing so much mass, you know, distribution of Krishna consciousness as opposed to effect influencing higher classes, meaning mass distribution without trying to influence the higher classes, because that's going on already. And you're right, both things are very much required, because say by the effort to influence the higher classes in Krishna consciousness, devotees do achieve certain positive results. For example, Narendra Modi, the present Prime Minister in India, he is, you know, devotees from Chaupati have access to him and they encourage him in different good things, and he does a lot of good. For example, one thing, he's really into cow protection, and he tightened the laws in India. For example, he made beef consumption legally punishable offense in certain states. For example, Maharashtra, which is really big state, and it was not done before, so he pushed for that. And he also established cow ministers in certain states. He pushed for that, and it was so funny that the cow minister in Hindi is, you know, because the cow is go and protector is Pala. So the official title for cow minister in Indian government is Gopal. That's very funny. You know, for example, in Rajasthan, they have Gopal now. They have cow minister in Gopal, specific man who is looking after the welfare of cows in the whole state, which is huge accomplishment. So he's doing all these things, which are very wonderful. And also, like in UP, chief minister is, funny enough, a sannyasi. And his name is Yogi Adityanath. And even though he's the chief priest of Gorakhpur temple, which is Shaivite temple, and Narendra Modi is also Shaivite, but both of these men are extremely broad-minded and very friendly, and they love devotees, and they work with the devotees. And, you know, this Yogi Adityanath is big-time supporter of Vedic culture and cow protection. You know, every political speech of his starts with Gomata Ki Jai, for example. And then he says, it's really good that the foreigners are taking so much interest in Indian spirituality and they go to the holy places. So he said, for increasing international influence of India, we should invest into the holy places. And then he actually invested a lot of money into, for example, Vrindavan and Braj. If you go to Govardhan nowadays, that's a good news for many devotees, you could walk all the way around without having to step on the, you know, sharp stones or anything. It's all around covered with very soft sand, and they made the lane for the pilgrims really wide, etc. So they invest in huge money. We're talking about tens of millions of dollars into Braj. And he gives this money, and he controls how it is spent because corruption is so high in India. And so he makes these surprise visits to the places to check whether the money was stolen or misappropriated. And if he discovers any irregularities, he kicks people out and puts other people in place. And now everyone is afraid, okay, you know, if we try to steal this money, he comes personally. You know, and this is like, I was thinking, Vedic rulers, they were doing that, right? In disguise, they were checking how things are happening. So certain positive changes do happen in India, for example. But at the same time, one devotee in Mumbai, his wife is in university, and they had a whole class discussion on this, new law introduced by Narendra Modi and his followers about the, you know, ban on beef consumption. And she said it was really confusing that practically the entire class were Hindus and they were against it. They were saying, you know, why do you have to impose these things? People have to have freedom, whatever they want to eat, it's fine. If they want to consume beef, it's fine. And she was saying, but this is crazy, this is our culture. And all these people were saying, well, this is old time thinking, no, we're supposed to be modern, this and that. So it's crazy. So just to illustrate your point, it's right. Yet influencing leaders is not enough because the followers are also pretty dumb. And so they also have to be told, you know, what to do, what not to do. So it's really important to influence both sides because Kali Yuga is so rapidly advancing, unfortunately. Yes.
Since I have the microphone, earlier you also mentioned about, you said that Krishna wants his devotee to have everything.
That's right.
Now, as you were speaking in that vein, I thought of, you know, what's known as prosperity religions.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, on TV, you know, thousands and thousands of people assemble in one place and churches, you know. And their criteria of closeness to God is that it'll manifest in their lives in way of wealth and
mm-hmm.
prosperity. So what do you say to that?
Well, Prabhupada was very close to Krishna and he manifested so much prosperity none of his god brothers could match. So we tend to agree with that. Wherever there is Narayan, the Lakshmi is there. So why not? Of course, some devotees, they choose the, Bhajan Anandi mode. So even though they have access to all these opportunities, they're not taking it up, right? But those who are Goshtanandis, like Srila Prabhupada, yeah, he was open about it. He was saying that all the money of the world should be brought to me because I'm the only one who knows how to spend it properly. So he had that desire very strongly. to spread Krishna consciousness widely, and of course it is not really possible without having money, without having position, etc. So Krishna gave Srila Prabhupada all these things. And so, yeah. Of course, the prosperity, you know, preaching would be wrong if it is... and of course, this is something which we disagree with Christianity, that turn God into your order supplier. You know, serve God so that you could enjoy a prosperous life of luxury and sanctification. So our position is that, you know, they want to serve God to get money, but we want to have money to serve God. That's the difference, the key distinction between us and them. Yes, microphone please.
Thank you, Maharaj. You mentioned Radhanath Swami, and I just wanted to mention, because I've just spent some time visiting at the Bhakti Center, mm-hmm. and I'm so impressed at the way they have something for everyone, mm-hmm. and the way they connect people to Krishna consciousness according to their interests. Mm-hmm. And for example, like on Thursday nights, they have kirtan. And it's just kirtan, but so many people come. And so for people, like I met when I was distributing books, one man who was a Buddhist. So he wasn't interested in the philosophy. He felt like he was satisfied with that. But I was at Harinam, and he said, oh, but I like the music. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, so I invited him to come for kirtan. And he was very excited about that, because there would be no philosophy, just chanting. But then for people who want to go further, they have, you know, they study Bhagavad Gita, they study Srimad Bhagavatam in small groups, and they have opportunities for discussion and like that. So it's very dynamic. It's a very dynamic program. And there's so many people, so many different types of people that are coming. It's really amazing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes. Okay. A few more minutes if anyone wants to share anything. All right. So we'll finish here. Thank you all very much for your kind hospitality. And please give me all your blessings for my further traveling and trying to serve Vaishnavas and Srila Prabhupada to the best of my capacity. And we do have some Maha Prasad from Giriraj, if anyone's interested. You can come up here. Hare Krishna. Shala Prabhupada ki jai. Granta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.